Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Hey friends, this is the Moms in Prayer podcast, and I'm your host, Lee Nienhuis, and this is episode 117. I hope you had a fabulous Labor Day weekend. Most of America is now back to school in one form or another. My Uncle Mark was praying at church the other day and he said, "Lord, we're asking you to bring this disease to the ground." I think he prayed what we must continue to ask God for. The sparing of lives around the globe, the mental health and well-being of our children, and the reopening of schools. Can I get an amen? On September 17th, we're preparing for our first live stream event. You are not going to want to miss this live stream experience. If you're on our newsletter, you already have all the details. But if not, jump on our website at momsinprayer.org. You are going to love, love, love this free event. And while you're there, register your email so you can stay up to date with us. Today's guest is my friend, my personal mentor, and my second mom, Marle Gritter. Marle is the person who introduced me to Moms in Prayer. Marle, as you will soon hear, is the former executive vice president of Moms in Prayer. She's every bit as encouraging in person as you'll hear today. As I've prayed for you, my podcast family, I know this is a time of great fear in our world, a time when there's so much uncertainty. And then I remembered one of the powerful talks I heard Marle give about the power of one courageous, powerful little praying mama. Today's episode is taken from a talk Marle gave at the Michigan State Getaway 2 years ago. I know it's going to fill you with faith. Let's get started.
It is my privilege this afternoon to introduce to you my dear friend Marle Gritter, our very first Michigan State coordinator. And Marle was blessed the Lord at an early age while growing up. She got a degree in elementary education, taught third grade, and she and her husband Dave began a family. They were married in 1979. Lindy and Josh, they are all married and they have 5 grandchildren. In 1991, she became involved in Moms in Prayer after attending a national to passion for prayer in Marle's life. Her desire to encourage women to pray grew. And so she had the opportunity to be the area coordinator, the national director, the executive vice president, and she's currently director of global advancement for Moms in Prayer International. She's been involved years, and this has given her many opportunities to speak and travel around the world. She's a keynote speaker for Moms in Prayer at rallies, and she's spoken at women's retreats and workshops. She's been a facilitator for Speak Up conferences, and she's appeared on Time Out, Women's National TV, and been on Focus on the Family. And God has given her an incredible passion and vision for the power of prayer, and she powerfully communicates methods for developing your prayer life and leaves you knowing that prayers do make an adjustment. We're going to be delighted to hear about courageous faith around the globe from Marle Gritter.
Well, thank you. You know, as Linda was introducing me, honestly, the best thing I can say that I am is I'm a mom, I'm a wife, and I'm a grandma. How about the grandmas out there? Woo! Hey, I always say it's amazing to pray for your children. You better watch out when grandmas get together to pray. Because they're, you know, it's like, don't you dare touch my grandchild. Really, right? Amen? And those of you here who are grandmas and are not yet praying, oh my goodness, ask the Lord for another grandma. There's nothing like praying for the generations together. And there's several of the grandmas from my group that are here today, and it's so true. I mean, I love it when I'm praying with another grandma, or for your children too, but actually Jan, she's got 24 grandchildren. I pray with Jan. And I will never forget, and I know others have done this, but we're praying for my Michaela, who's 16. And Jan's praying for my Michaela, and she has big crocodile tears running down her face for my Michaela. Isn't that a picture of what Moms in Prayer is? It truly is a sisterhood and a support for each other. So, and thank you all of you who are new here today. What a treat to have you here. And truly, in 1991, I was invited by my sister who lived in Dallas, Texas. I kept hearing about this Moms in Touch group, this Moms in Touch group she was part of. She invited me to a Moms in Touch retreat in Southern California. Now, I have to tell you, it was February in Michigan. Do I have to say any more? So I don't know if my motives were entirely pure, but I went to that Moms in Touch retreat and I was changed because I heard at that conference woman after woman after woman say, I prayed and God first of all changed me, and then he changed this in my child, or he changed this in my school. And I came back on fire because that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be known as a praying mom. I wanted to be known as a praying grandma. And that is what I say, you know, when I, someday when my time to go is, you know what I want said about me? I want my kids and my grandkids to say, she prayed for me. She prayed for me. That's the best thing that I could have said about me. And I know that you feel that way too. So, that I love the verse of Joshua, do not be afraid, have courage. I mean, I love Joshua. If you want to just get fired up about having courage, just read the book of Joshua. There's so much in Joshua that shows about this godly, God-fearing man who had courageous faith. And he didn't have easy shoes to step into. I mean, you know, he just followed Moses, who is just this, you know, big guy. So I get to share with you today how God is raising up courageous mothers around the world. From a little village in Africa, to a small town in Germany, to churches in El Salvador and Argentina, mamas are meeting weekly to pray for their children and schools. And every week I get the privilege to talk via Skype, most of all, to these women. Actually, I work with the country coordinators, and we have two directors over Europe and Central America, and then a country coordinator is over her whole country. And I get the great joy of working with them. And I get to learn from these women of courageous faith all the time. Because truly, no matter the language, no matter the culture, no matter the economic background, a mom's heart is the same around the world. Amen? God is changing hearts, teachers' hearts, raising up the next generation around the world. These are our sisters in Christ. So in over 140 countries, there's 192, I think, or maybe that's the last number I know. It might have grown, but I sure have learned a lot about the world, that's for sure. You can also get this on our website. But I just want to point out a couple places. So the great big one there is Greenland. But you know what's really fun is I just heard from a woman in Denmark, and she said, I have a missionary friend who's going to Greenland. God's going to do what he wants to do with that. You'll see there Northern Africa. You know, it's Libya, it's Syria, it's all of the war-torn Middle East. That's those where Christians are persecuted. All that blue is there. There may be groups meeting underground. We don't know. And then you'll see North Korea's on there. You know, I'll never forget, I had the opportunity to go to South Korea. Moms in Prayer. South Korea is known as a praying country. There are over 3,000 Moms in Prayer groups praying in South Korea. Whoa! You talk about moms praying for their children in schools. But what so struck me when I was there is that they, in desperation, cry out for their fellow mothers in North Korea. They have such a heart. This is their family. This is their relatives, some of them. And they continue to pray with great hope and great expectation. They don't let all of the things we hear in the news get to them. They just say, when we're reunited with our North Korean family. But they pray all the time for the North Korean mothers who have got to be so hopeless. That's just a little side note. So that just shows in a glance where we are not. And so, you know, if you have... We all have connections around the world. I mean, I could stand here all day and tell you God's stories of this mom to this mom to this mom. I mean, that's how it has grown. One day we did not just say, we're going to go out on the world, here we go. No, God began to put one mom to one mom to one mom to one missionary to one booklet. That's just what's happened around the world. So if you have a certain country on your heart, if you have family, if you have connections, begin to pray, if especially one of these countries that are listed here. And go on our website, email us at headquarters. You can just go info@momsandprayer.org, and you'll get somebody to respond to you. We're praying for these countries to have the hope of prayer through Moms in Prayer. So just wanted to start with that. Make sure you go to our website, too, and just click around momsandprayer.org. Just click around on the different countries. There's facts on there. I'm telling you, you'll be blessed. It's all right there. So we are truly grateful to be around the world. And as I think Linda said before, the little booklet, 65 languages and ongoing. We can't keep up with how many different translations women want. Actually, it's often we need to find a good translator and then, of course, money to translate because most of the third world countries can't afford to do it. So we always have a bunch in the queue that we're praying for to translate. Because if a mom gets this little booklet in her language, can you imagine how she feels? It's like, it's for me. It's for me. That's what happens. So pray about that with us. Well, I want to tell you today four stories. I really asked the Lord, there's so many stories I could tell you, but I want to tell you about four stories of courageous women around the world. And the first one, actually, they didn't have Moms in Prayer back then because it was in the Old Testament. But I think, actually, they probably did have Moms in Prayer. And it's a story that I want to refer to, and the mama's name was Jochebed. And she was from Egypt. She was a Hebrew. And this is how I want to set up the story. It says, Pharaoh gave the order to all his people, throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River, but you may let the girls live. And then it says, but because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live too. So the first courageous women are the midwives. I read that again yesterday. I'm like, I got to say the midwives were courageous faith. To go against a king's edict you think that took courage? And remember then they said, oh, these women are just strong. They just give birth really fast. But I want to especially just focus for a minute on Jochebed. We know the edict. At that very moment in history, when it seemed that the worst thing that could happen to a mother is that she became pregnant and gave birth to a baby boy, God allowed that to happen. And I give credit to Jennifer Kennedy Dean for a few of these thoughts because she says it so profoundly. I'm using a few of her thoughts from a book that's called Courageous Faith. By the way, that's a great book. Jochebed, a little mother in a sea of grieving mothers. It says in Exodus 2, the woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. Can you imagine being pregnant in that day? Can you imagine the grieving that was happening in that time when every baby boy was grabbed by the soldiers and thrown into the Nile? You can't even imagine. And you know, every Bible story book has this sweet little picture of Moses in this little basket. But let's look behind that basket for a minute. Let's look at a very courageous mama named Jochebed. Because think about what it took. Well, first of all, she kept her baby quiet for 3 months. Anybody have experience doing that? She kept her baby quiet for 3 months. That's why I think she had Moms in Prayer group with her to help her. But I love what this verse said. She saw that another translation says it was no ordinary child, and she kept him hidden. And what that says is that she chose to see by faith, not by her eyes, that God had a greater purpose for her little boy than what looked imminent in front of her, that he would probably be found and he would also be thrown into the Nile. And she decided by faith that the enemy's plans for her son's future would not come to pass. She would focus on faith, not on fear. Can you imagine being that little Hebrew mother making this little basket, but then pushing it out in the water? Talk about letting go, pushing her little boy out on the water. All she knew was a soldier was around the corner would grab him. She didn't know. She had faith to push him out in the water. Oh, this is such an amazing story. We serve such an impossible, possible God in the impossible. Just at that moment, he causes a princess to be in the water bathing. And that princess sees the little basket and has pity on him. She could have said, into the Nile. And then she says, I need someone to nurse him. And just at that moment, his sister happens to be there and says, I'll find a Hebrew mother. And I love in Exodus 2, so she brings the baby boy to his very own mother. And that mother, Jochebed, gets paid to nurse her baby by the princess from, from Egypt. Only God could do this. And then when Moses is old enough, let me step back. Then the princes, when he comes, it's time that he goes and grows up in the palace or whatever they called it. And she names him Moses. You know what Moses means? To draw out. Because God, in his sovereign plan, knew that this little baby that he was going to keep safe was going to draw his very people out of Egypt and was going to be the one who would lead them to the promised land, his covenant people. He called them his precious possessions. I mean, is this God or what? But you know what I want to remind you of today? That it all goes back to a little mama who said, I'm going to see with my faith eyes instead of my physical eyes. And I'm telling you, it must have felt really impossible, because all around her are mothers just sobbing because they've lost their babies. They've been thrown into the Nile. I know that's horrible, and that's how horrible it had to be. So what can we learn from this little precious, courageous faith mama? What area in your life today, mamas, grandmas, do you need to trust? Who is it? Probably a child, a circumstance, that you need to let go. Push them out. Let them go. You can't see it with your eyes. I've been there. You can't see it with your eyes, your physical eyes. You can only see it by faith. Let them go. Because, see, we think we can get it all planned out for our kids. I know, I've done it. We can get it all planned out. We got it all figured out. Exactly. And God wants to say, honey, you are shortchanging me. I have so much bigger plans for your child than you could even think of. You got to let him go. You got to let him go. I believe that's what God wants to teach us today through this courageous mother named Jochebed. The second courageous faith woman I want to tell you about is, I'm going to show you a few pictures. This is about 12 years ago, and I had the opportunity to go to be in Guatemala. And we drove 3 hours up the mountain from Guatemala City. I will never forget it because I got very car sick. A pastor that pastored a little church of 300 up in the mountains invited us to come, knew that we were coming, and walked for miles the week before, because they only walk there, and invited the mamas to come to the church this certain day because they could learn how to pray for their children in their schools. They were a very poor indigenous. You can see by their little outfits. The color of their little skirts and their shirts told like the village they were part of. So these are some of the mamas that we met. By the time we were ready to start, the room was packed. Over 300 were there. I'll never forget how humbled I felt as Barbara, who was with me, we stood by the front door, and here come these little mamas. They have babies on their backs. Many of them had walked for hours, and they came, and they were excited to hear about prayer, and they were just so sweet, and of course, they all spoke Spanish, and I knew about three words, but we'd hug them, and they'd kiss us, and it was so humbling. And as we were praying with the pastor before we started, he made us aware that most of these women were illiterate. And so we said, Lord, help us, because we realized we were going to be saying way too much. So how God led us was to take a verse of scripture, and I don't remember what it was, but we found a simple, easy verse of scripture that simply, through our translator, we taught them that scripture verse. They memorized it. We taught them how to put their child's name in that scripture, and then we said, we're going to pray. There's some of the children that came. They were so sweet. They all sat in the front row. I will never forget. It really was life-changing for me. I will never forget sitting there. And these precious mamas, who by our standards have nothing, but by God's standards have everything, to hear them begin to pray, they were weeping, they were crying out, they were desperate, they were saying, I mean, it just like that church became a birthing room. And we sat there just weeping, and we were like, oh my goodness, these women can teach me a lot. They, over and over and over, they said, you gave us the best gift, you gave us the best gift. It was so, so powerful. And they went home, and they were just so excited because they had the gift of the word of God that they could pray over their children. What can we learn from them? You know, this is what I learned. I have this Bible 24/7. In fact, I probably have 15 Bibles sitting in my house. And what, you know what our, I mean, reality is, you know what our struggle is? Our struggle is to get in our cars and to drive over to Moms in Prayer and pray an hour. Sometimes we have to feel a little guilty about being too busy. But see, that's our culture, but it just struck me. It's like, do I see this as the most biggest important gift I can ever have? To meet with another mom. That's what those mamas taught me. And I really believe it was life-changing. We don't have to walk for hours. We just have to get in our car, don't we? That's our challenge. I want to believe more in the power of the word, like I saw those ladies do. I want to see it as a gift. And, you know, this is just a little side note, but this is just how God works. As I pray for my 16-year-old granddaughter, about 3 months ago, she said to me one day, she says, you know what, Nana, you know what I would really like to do? And I said, what, honey? And she said, I would like to go on a mission trip with you and Grandpa. Whoa! My 16-year-old granddaughter, who I've prayed for since she was little, and if you know our story, she was born to our daughter at 18, and it hasn't been easy. She wanted to go on a mission trip with us. She initiated it. Woo! And so I say that to say, through our church, I said, I know, just the mission trip. So I say that to say, this summer, Dave and I and Michaela are going 2 hours up from Guatemala City. I don't know if it's the same area. It's for mamas that live in the dump. And we're going to build houses, and we're going to do vacation Bible school, and I get to teach them about Moms in Prayer. So that's just a little side story, but it's a really great story because it's an answer to prayer. I want to just share a quote that my son sent to me several years ago, because it's about the gift of praying the word of God. And those of you who are new here, one of the things you will find if you join or start a Moms in Prayer group is the most amazing thing is that every week we take the word of God and we open it up and we put our child's name right in a verse. And when you begin to pray scripture over your children, you never pray the same, because it's the living word of God. Well, we have two girls and a boy, Joshua, and when he was about 20 in college, he wrote me a letter. Now, I know 20-year-old boys don't normally write their moms a letter, so it's just, you know, he's a writer and he just did it. So, and it was the kind of thing that is enough for me forever, because really what the letter was about was, it's like he got it. And he realized at 20 what it meant that his mom had been praying for him. But he shared a little quote in this letter, and it's really profound, and I want to share it with you because it will encourage you. He said this. He still calls me Mama. I love it. Mama, you have spent your entire adult life in prayer, in a constant begging and twitching toward God on behalf of the world, but also so profoundly on behalf of me. You have used God's words to fill your prayers, and some days that is the only reason I can trust that God's voice can be heard. So what he was saying, and this is what I want to give you today about what those mamas learned, the gift. What he was saying was, what he got was all of those scripture prayers that I prayed and prayed and prayed, and you've prayed and prayed and prayed into your child's life, into their heart. He is saying, Mom, you've poured the word into my heart. So now when I stand up, and he happens to be a pastor, and so is his wife, praise God. And I'm not saying your kids have to be pastors, whatever they're doing, but he's saying as he stands up to preach, he says, Mama, all those words that you have prayed into me, they come out. So don't ever underestimate the power of filling your child's heart with God's word, because right when they need it, their hearts are full. A lot of times they don't even know it. Like, he got it finally. The word of God's going to come out. It's going to come out. So never, never think that one little scripture that you pray into their hearts goes unnoticed. God uses everyone. I want to encourage you with that. The third story, I want to take you to the northern border of Uganda. Here's some of our precious, Sudanese and Ugandan mamas. I work with Jessica Okala, who is the country coordinator of Uganda. She told me this story. It's been several years, but I talked to her. She just kind of reminded me of it. And she told me a story about being on the northern border of Uganda, and some Sudanese mothers came across. That's the border up there. And she was sharing the vision of Moms in Prayer. And one woman in particular was just sobbing and finally stopped her and said to her, Sister, we know you love us and want to teach us how to pray, but where was God when my child was abducted by the Liberation Army and made into a child soldier? And then another mom said, I had 5 kids, 2 were taken. I had 4 children, 2 were taken. And Jessica said, she was like, oh, Lord, help me. I don't know what to say. And this mama said to her, could Jesus send someone else who would hear our prayers? We're not sure that he's listening. So Jessica said, I said, Holy Spirit, help me know what to say. And so what Jessica felt led to do is they gathered around these 3 mamas and they just sobbed for a while with them. They just grieved with them over the loss of their children. And then Jessica said, it's like the Holy Spirit gave her that courageous faith. And then she said, I don't know how you're feeling because I haven't had my child abducted, but I know that God is still God. And as Jessica shared the truth of the word and of who God was, no matter what, even when we don't understand, it's like those mamas just kind of, she just saw the courage rise up in them. And she just said she could see the Holy Spirit give them courage in front of her eyes. And today, the war is now ended. And a lot of the children, if they were not killed, have come back, very traumatized, obviously, but a lot of them have come back. And they started a Moms in Prayer group in northern Uganda, which is still going, and Jessica goes up there, because she lives actually in the south, to encourage them. But I was so struck by this story, but I want to relate it to us, because there's a lot of women here today that maybe your child hasn't been taken by the Liberation Army, but your child has been taken by the enemy. Your child has been abducted, has been kidnapped by the real enemy who's out to kill and destroy our children. That's just what it is. I want to say to you today to not give up and put your little face in my hands. And I would say, you're a good mom. You keep loving that child. You keep praying for her. Keep on. Don't give up, because someday she's going to come back. All of you who need that little hand in the face, don't give up, because the enemy wants us to give up. And you talk about women that could have given up, and they probably did at times, those that really had them kidnapped. But God is still God. We got to keep loving them. We got to keep praying for them. There's an illustration that I love, and it's the illustration of building a dam. And when a dam is erected in a mountain valley, it takes many months. The water begins to accumulate behind the dam, which can take months or even years. But when that water reaches a certain height, the sluice gates open, water begins to turn the generators, and there's tremendous power. The person standing on the dry side of the dam can't see the water accumulating. Then when that last drop brings the water to the right level, all power breaks loose. So mamas, it might be the prayer you prayed yesterday. It might be the prayer you pray today. It might be the prayer that you pray in 3 months or in a year or in 5 years. That's the final little drop that fills up and all power breaks loose. We don't know God's timing, but don't stop. Keep bringing the drops. Keep bringing the drops. He hears every prayer. He hears every prayer. And the fourth story I have of courageous faith, this is a picture of the gal in the middle with the bag. That is Catherine Larson, who is our director, our European director. She's over 33 countries in Europe. Several of our team members. And the three ladies on the right are Arabic Christian women from Yassif, Israel. And they were just in Israel several months ago. That's when this was taken. I just want to share this story. You know, we hear about the Israeli-Palestine conflict all the time. You know, the Palestinians are mostly Arabics, and there's a lot of Arabic Christians. And these were three women from a little village that invited them to come. And Catherine and her team shared about moms in prayer. And this is what happened. The lady in the middle, she's a teacher at a Christian school. And as Catherine began to share the vision of moms in prayer, mothers praying for the children in the schools, this teacher began to weep, and she couldn't help herself, and she said, "That's what I've been doing." She said, "Me and another teacher have had on our heart to pray for the children at our school by name, and we've been doing it for a long time, but we never knew about moms in prayer." And she was so incredibly excited because she felt God's great love for her. Because God would send our European director, who happens to live in Switzerland, all the way to Israel, to their little village, to meet with three little women. And they came to bring her the vision that she already had in her heart. So I love that story because you know what? It shows that every little woman matters. Every little mom around the world, God sees and wants to give her hope through the power of teaching her to pray. And the other thing that these women said, I learned from, is they shared about their people. And their people are Arabic Christians from Syria, a lot of them from Libya. We're hearing horrible stories, and a lot of the Christians are being killed. This is their people. And they said they have such a desperate heart for their people to pray for them and to pray hope over them and to pray protection over them. These are sisters, our sisters, you and I, around the world. We can relate to them because our hearts are the same. And it made me think about our children. Our children, ladies, are dying. Our children are getting shot. You know, we're kind of in a mess here in the U.S., aren't we? And so I just say that to say that's what I love about moms in prayer, because we don't just pray for our children, we pray for the children at that school. And I want to really challenge you to take that serious. Pray for the lonely, bullied kids. Pray for the kids at your school that maybe have never had their name said before the Father in prayer. Say those names. You know, 34 years ago, I love how you, Linda, shared Fern's heart, Fern Nichols, our founder. And what I think is pretty amazing is that God didn't just lead Fern to start the ministry. She had her boys going into middle school on her heart. He didn't just have her say, "Let's have a ministry to pray for the children," but he had her start a ministry to pray for the children and the schools. 34 years later, you talk about a time and a place for such a time as this, that God wanted to have the children of, I mean, the schools, the teachers, all that has to do with it, prayed for. I want to end this time with a few words from Billy Graham. We've all just been so incredibly blessed by this man's life and legacy. I had time really to listen to a lot of it, and oh, wow, it's like that's how we all want to be remembered. This is part of just a paragraph of an article I received. I believe it's a word for us today that Billy Graham actually said in 1966 at the World Congress of Evangelism in Berlin, Germany. Billy Graham became part of this global evangelistic organization that, you know, was just, God used greatly. The Lausanne movement is what it became known as. But this is before that. And he opened up that conference. There was about 1,000 people there from all over the world. And this is what he said. He said the elements of spiritual fire are here and could make this Congress as significant in the history of the church as the World Missionary Conference, which was held in Edinburgh in June of 1910. We need a greater comprehension of the world in which we labor. We need a greater unity among the laborers. We need a greater dynamic. We need no new organizations and movements. We need no new message. But what we do need is a fresh and larger bestowal of supernatural power for the accomplishment of our stupendous task of evangelizing our generation. We need a greater enthusiasm. And then he said, today, if the Christian church, we're the church, right here, we're the church, could be aflame with enthusiasm for the gospel of Christ, with the spirit of burning passion to the person of Christ, and with an overwhelming passion for the multitude still outside of Christ, we could change our world. And so I want to relate that to you and I today, because it's very, what I love about our ministry is we do evangelism praying. I mean, the first thing we pray is that our children will be saved, that the teachers will be saved. But let me just relate it to us. And I use his words. We, as praying mothers, need a greater comprehension of the world in which we labor. We need a greater unity. This is a word for us today. We need a greater unity. We need to learn to get along among the laborers. We need a greater dynamic. We need a fresh and larger bestowal of supernatural power for the accomplishment of our stupendous task of every school and child in the world prayed for. Amen? We need a greater enthusiasm. Today, if we could be more aflame with enthusiasm for prayer, with the spirit of burning devotion to the person of Christ, and with an overwhelming passion for the multitudes of mothers around the world who need to pray, learn to pray, we could be used to change the world. Will you join me? Will you join me? If you're new here today, will you join us? I believe you're here for a reason. Start a Moms in Prayer group. Begin asking right now, Lord, who's that one other mom that you want me to pray with? You see, I talk to women around the world, and I always say, tell me about your prayer group. And they'll go, oh, I only have one other mom. And I'll go, you have one other mom? Because what does it say in Matthew? Where how many are gathered? Two or three. Yeah, 10 or 15 is wonderful. Two is a group. So if you're new, I challenge you to begin to say, Lord, who's that mom that you want me to pray with? Start. When you go out the door, you start asking them that. And those of you who are already in Moms in Prayer, which I know a lot of you are, I just am asking today to just, let's just step up with the passion for what we're doing. Because we have a, first of all, USA, we have a state, Michigan, we have a USA, and we have a world. There's so many mothers that need to know about who God is, how we have learned in Moms in Prayer. And the generations need it. Because you know what I believe with all my heart? God is in the business of raising up Esthers, Deborahs, Daniels, Joshuas, your kids and my kids, your grandkids and my grandkids, to carry the torch forward. Don't underestimate what he wants to do. Your kid, he wants your kid to be a Joshua. He wants your child to be an Esther. Let's go forward with expectation that God wants to use our kids to do that, but he needs us moms to do our part and pray. Let's walk out of here today with courageous faith. More courageous faith. I think you have courageous faith. Let's have more courageous faith. And will you just stand with me right now? And as you stand, you're saying, I want more courageous faith. Repeat after me. I want more courageous faith.
I want more courageous faith.
And I want it to start with me.
I want revival in my heart first.
And I want to pray for revival in the generations.
I believe it.
Thank you, Jesus. And let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, thank you for these moms here today. Thank you for the mothers around the world who, Lord, have some of them have much tougher circumstances than we do. But Lord, their faith so teaches me and so challenges me. I want to be that simple little mama who comes and says, thank you for the gift of praying scripture over my child. Lord, we have so much. Help us to not forget the gift that we have. And Lord, I pray for the new moms that are here. I know they're here by your divine appointment. I was at that conference in 91 by your divine appointment because you wanted to change me and you wanted to change the generations of the Gritter family because of it. Not because of me, but because of your work. So Lord, each mama, each grandma here, I pray that she will have a new expectation and a passion that God wants to use her prayers deeply, more, have her be more expectant, have more courageous faith to not let anything get in the way of coming together and praying with another mom. Because you say in Matthew, where two or three are gathered together, I am there. You, Father God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, say you are with us when we pray. That is amazing. Thank you for the reminders of these precious ladies that teach us so much, Lord. And may the women in the world say that about us when they think of their USA sisters, that we have courageous faith because we taught them what it looked like. And I pray this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Friends, God can change nations through the prayers of one little mama. If you reached this point in the broadcast, then you heard the plan Michaela had for going on a mission trip to Guatemala with Marley and Dave. I'm happy to report they made that trip. As it would happen, unbeknownst to me, a year later, my daughter Gabby would ask if I wanted to go on a mission trip with her to Guatemala. 1 year after Marley's trip, on a random hillside in a city dump in Guatemala, a woman walked up to me in broken English and said, "You work with moms in prayer?" I said yes, and then I hugged her, and then she said, "Do you know Marley?" I gasped. Friends, Moms in Prayer has over 100,000 praying moms around the globe, and she asked if I knew the woman who brought me into this life-changing ministry. I said, "Yes, I know Marley." And then she said, "Marley came and taught me to pray." I started sobbing right there in the middle of the dump. I could barely lift my head. The presence of the Lord was so thick, and I said the only words that I could muster. Marley taught me to pray too. That is the level of direction our God has over our lives and the power of sharing Moms in Prayer with others. Here's what we know for sure. We are proud to call ourselves sisters because of King Jesus with women around the globe. If you are already a Moms in Prayer mom, awesome. Share Moms in Prayer. If you aren't already a Moms in Prayer mom, why in heaven's not? This sisterhood and power of prayer with other moms could very well change a nation through our courageous and audacious prayers. You can find more information on the Ministry of Moms in Prayer or give to this ministry on our website at momsinprayer.org. You can also find all of our show notes there. We would love to have you join us. Moms are making the difference. Little praying moms around the globe. Moms just like you. See you next week.